I fly above all the drama and also coach.
My favorite sexual position, apparently, is getting tag-teamed by OC in Salt Lake City.
I can't. I literally can't. So
it was good for me.
It was. We had a throuple. We had a throuple, both of us, this morning with Salt Lake and Orange County. You guys, it's Andy's girls. You know her as one of my Bravoholic besties. I know her as one of my Bravoholic besties and also one of my literal favorite people to record with. So let's just cut the shit. Welcome back. We haven't recorded in, I don't even know.
5 minutes. It's been at least 5 minutes.
Literally 24 hours. Teddy Joe ruining my day yesterday. Was it yesterday? Day before. Ruining my Wednesday.
She robbed me of my efficiency. I was going to watch Salt Lake City live. I had a whole thing. But you know what? That was a special moment. It was. It was something we'll never forget. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we learned a lot about the horse world.
We did learn a lot about the horse world. I did get a DM from somebody who said, I am in the horse world and there have been rumors about Teddy for a while. And I went, go on. So I didn't hear back. But I do also have to say, shout out Teddy Joe, because she is literally spiraling. How are we circling back to Teddy Joe? We have so much to discuss, but just real quick, she's literally spiraling. Her PR, also known as just like literally Teddy, is doing their level best to be like, well, Edwin fucked up 8 years ago. So this is
it was Edwin
him.
8 years ago.
This motherfucker, yeah. The thing that's so funny is like, just take accountability, but she won't.
Just take the L. Just say I was a piece of shit.
Just say.
She can't do it. She can't take that accountability. She can dish it. She can't take it.
So somebody posted a clip of her like not referencing, but referencing it on her podcast. Because she's like, people would call me hypocritical if I didn't talk about it. So what I'm going to say is I can't talk about it, but I am brave for referencing it. And then it's Tamara being like, oh, my God, I'm here for you as a friend, as a business person, you know, like whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she literally goes, I'm just trying to protect the kids. I mean, there were other children involved in this, number one. And number two, like, don't put your children in front of being accountable. That's not on them.
Don't. We don't need to hear that.
We already know. So you not taking accountability doesn't further protect your kids. She could make the argument it's continuing the conversation, but we're doing it with or without her. With or without.
So look, their podcast right now is number 5 on TV and film for Apple Podcasts.
It's usually, honestly, number one.
It's usually up there. It's in the top 4 or 5. Everybody who's listening to them is making them money. These two terrible women. So, like, if you don't like these two awful women, then don't listen to their podcast. They're making money off of people, off of being horrible people.
But don't transfer that logic to any other podcast hosted by Bravo women, because your hate listen still pays the bills. So, like,
oh man,
follow that math for Teddy, but then that's where math stops.
Yeah, you're helping to pay for Teddy's divorce at this point. If you're listening to her, I don't know. I don't even know what she's saying because I'm not going to listen to it.
It's just so wild. Literally, the Page Six thing is like, Edwin fucked up 8 years ago. The woman's name was Missy or something, or Misty. And it's like,
well, you can miss me with that bullshit because I'm not buying it. I don't care if he did something to you 8 years. What I'm saying is, of course we care, but it doesn't justify. I ruined a woman's life in the worst ways possible. But instead of saying, I'm so sorry that I did that, it's like him over there with him 8 years ago. I'm not healed from that.
And being an accountability coach,
the last thing I'm going to say about it, and you know it's not the last thing I'm going to say
it's
about
not.
It.
It's not. It's far from it.
Couldn't be more far from it. Far from heaven, honestly. Is the last thing I'm going to say about it is it's just so funny because some of us, aka you and me and other people, including I'm sure a ton of people listening, have been calling out Teddy as a piece of shit for how many years, saying her joke about being an accountability coach is literally just that. It's a joke. So her literally going on her podcast and being like, I can't talk more about it, but there's, you know, like there's more information that's going to come out, which
there's different sides to every story. Well, I guess what? We heard the wife story and I think we're done. I'm good.
I mean, it's like there are two sides to a coin, but both sides are heads. Like, yeah. You know what? It doesn't take away from what you did. And you can just be like, I fucked up. To be like, yeah. I can't take accountability because it would hurt my kids is That's nuts behavior. Nuts behavior. And your kids aren't listening to podcasts.
Now we're bringing kids into it. What about the kid that was cooking inside her body?
What about that kid?
What about the child? You know what I thought about? And this is going to get really sad for a minute, so just brace yourself.
Wait, is this going to be a trigger warning conversation? What happened?
Well, not that bad, but like spiritually, yes. Okay, so I'm driving my car yesterday, and I had the realization that the worst situation, in my opinion, is that this little boy who was born at some point in their life is going to look back and see my dad wasn't there the day that I was born because he was having an affair with a washed up Z-list reality star accountability coach. That's the worst part. So yeah, tell me more about your kids, Teddy, and how you can't take responsibility. Like this is, I don't know. I mean, we make fun of it, but at the same time.
No, we make fun of it because we're horrified.
It is horrifying.
There's horror behind that. Also, she dressed up as her horse.
As the toad. I had to go to my burner and take a picture of it. And I didn't even post it because I was so disgusted. She's like trying to be a fuckable toad for Halloween, you know, in a little. I'm like, yeah, because that's your horse's name and your lover's riding the toad. Like, I'm just done. And then she files for divorce the next day.
It does give a little Rachel energy. During the Halloween pre-Ariana reveal.
Wearing the necklaces and just like laughing. It's their inside joke.
Also, listen, not the most important point, but isn't the horse's nickname Tote? Like Tote?
No, Toad. That's why she's dressed as that for Halloween.
I know, but it's a bad nickname.
This is Teddy we're talking about.
It's upsetting to me because there's a T there.
It's very upsetting. It's it makes no sense. If the horse's name is Totally, and the
can't do it. Nothing she does is
this
good.
Is going to be us in the retirement home. If the horse's name is Totally.
Also, someone messaged me. I'm so behind on my DMs, but someone messaged me and was like, "I have a carrot emotional support something, and I want that. I don't know what it is, but I need it for the Clawfish. Like a carrot." And I was like, "Is it a real carrot?" But I don't think it's a real carrot. But it's some sort
of a stuffed carrot. Like I've seen stuffed carrots, like for a dog toy or something, or even
why
for a kid's
a carrot?
Toy. Just why not a carrot?
Okay, that's true. Good point. When in doubt, carrot. You know what I'm saying?
Like yeah.
We have a lot of, you know what I'm saying. Okay. Listen. So some stuff happened on Orange County and Salt Lake City specifically, which are the shows I'm most focused on. Although I do just need to sidebar. This is going to be the strangest episode of all time. I just do want to sidebar because I heard about New York and I finally caught up last night.
Oh, you did. Good. Well, you know what? Okay.
I told you. I was like, my week is ruined, but I need to watch the last two episodes of New York.
Oh,
and
my God.
I just want to say that, like, genuinely, I mean this with like every fiber of my being. Like, Rebecca Minkoff can suck a dick. Like, to just I'm sorry. I mean that professionally. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean that like in a totally professional way.
Of course.
Like, put that dick on BCC because there's something so stupid about pranking because you don't have enough of a personality. Like, Psy has been proven right in so many ways. To say Rebecca Minkoff is boring is the nicest thing you can say about her. Honestly.
Kindest. The nicest possible thing she could have said, and that ruffled feathers.
And I also have to say, in the time in which women are being so much more open, publicly forthcoming, where we support other women in talking about fertility struggles, in talking about just challenges with our bodies, to make any kind of humor about a pregnancy story and then add in like sexual escapades and like cheating on top of that because you're so fucking boring. And Erin, I think, is like being the worst possible friend in not telling her it's a bad idea and just being like, this sounds great. Like, shows both of them don't understand what's going on, unless Erin is truly one step ahead, which she might be, in thinking like this
she's
is
not
going
she's
to,
not you're
she
sweet.
Could be thinking this could no. could implode and it's still Mm-mm. something. I don't know, that show is terrible, but I do just want to say, like, genuinely, every fiber of my being, like, in the most respectful way, like, suck a dick, which apparently, according to these rumors you've created, is the favorite thing that you like to do. It's just so stupid. Like, she thinks we're idiots and I don't appreciate that. Like, us, we're like, we're idiots. I don't care about the cast.
Yeah, no, that's what bothers me the most, when people undercut the viewers, because Bravo fans are the smartest,
people. Like the way that we figure things out and we research and we look for receipts and you don't go on these shows and try to underestimate. They always underestimate the Bravo fans. And those are the people who do not last at all. Like you got to either be real or be smart or both, but you can't go on there. And this is the third time I said on my pod yesterday, like what pisses me off, this is the third time that this Scientology woman, which is the only name she will ever be to me, has tried to throw a fake storyline at us. Get out. Get off the TV. Go on and get. If you can't think of anything to do or to say that's not a pre-planned storyline or Bryn coaching you on camera.
The only other thing I'm going to say about this, which again, means
I get it out. We got to get it out.
There was a literal like paid advertisement in the middle of this SponCon, which Wicked must have the largest marketing budget on earth, because there was this huge fucking scene of Rebecca Minkoff showing her Wicked collab bags in order to promote
the movie
and also her line. That's number one.
Stop it.
That's number one.
This is late stage capitalism. Burn it all.
Number one. Unless I get to participate in the capitalism, in which let's wait a little bit.
Have a thrill.
Just a little bit longer. That's number one. Number two, it was essentially an advertisement for Scientology with literally no pushback, excepting Aaron being like, I know stuff, but I can't share them. And then Rebecca Minkoff making a joke of being like, people just need to read more. Then the producer says, as long as they don't read Going Clear. And Rebecca's like, because it's talking about people who have had their lives ruined by Scientology.
This is what I'm saying. Before the season even aired, I said, I'll be damned if I help to normalize Scientology. And I feel like I want nothing. I want to go nowhere near that. Stay away from me with this. I want nothing to do with this. It's serious shit. It's serious shit. Ruin families, ruin lives, women die, like all kinds of stuff. I'm not even, this is her dad.
Her dad knows about death.
No.
Her dad knows about women dying from Scientology, okay?
Being locked in a hotel room for, no. No, we're not doing this. We're not giggling about this. This is ridiculous. That makes me so like irritated, and I'm so glad I did not even watch that show.
If only it was a real show where people could be like, hey, Aaron, speaking of books, I looked up some legal documents. I've just hey, Rebecca, speaking of documents, I just looked up.
They're the same at this point.
Literally the same. Like, it's just everybody, literally everyone can suck a dick. And that's the gravest insult I can say. Like, I'm not ever going to, like, no. That's the worst thing I can imagine is someone oral sex in that way. Absolutely not. Suck a dick. I swear to God.
Or eat a dick. You say eat a bag of dicks. We got a lot of things we could do with dicks. Either way, go near one and away from us. But also, the old Roni, this never would have. Nobody would have stood for this. They would have had the legal docs printed out. They would have called her out on it. Nobody's being real on these shows. I don't need another franchise where we're dancing around shit and doing fake storylines. I don't need it.
I just have to say, final thoughts.
Okay.
They're the worst. I hate this show. Everyone should be embarrassed. Jeff Lewis, who is someone I disagree with on any number of things and is also a fascinating, charismatic reality TV star.
He is.
Saying New York is his current favorite franchise. Sir, that just got you canceled. He went on, and then Andy was like, oh, is it? Like, nobody believed, like, Andy even is like, really? But no, Andy's like loving it because no one else is going to say that.
I thought that I saw a clip of Jeff Lewis on Watch What Happens Live, you know, accurately calling it out, being like, that's a fake storyline and that you lose trust with your viewers. And I think that was a really bad move. I'm shocked that he would say that was his favorite friend. But you know what? He likes mess. So if you like watching a car crash, then that might be your favorite franchise.
Number one, this is not good mess. Number two, he did say
it's not good mess.
And Andy also co-signed and was like, I don't like a prank because we're all adults except for Becky Minkoff. Like, that's number one. Number two, he said it's because the women have kept their jobs and he doesn't like when people become reality TV stars. But sir, they're two seasons in. Nobody's going to quit their job over this show. They need their job for the show. Of course they would. Bryn's coming up with an app for flirting. You don't think that she's trying to figure out a way to, like, which, God bless, like, she should come up with an app for being terrible on the show called, you know, the Bryn. I would swipe for that. Be like, teach me how to be the worst. Like, I guess I probably already know, but I don't know. It's just a lot. We need to shift gears, though. Okay.
All right. Let's get out of here. Let's get the hell out of this.
We need to talk about, it just left turn. We need to talk about Orange County.
Okay, let's start with Orange County.
We need to. Okay, so
it was a lot.
I recorded a deep dive of part one that went so well that I recorded a follow-up because I, you know, I usually watch episodes 800 times.
I know you do. I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how I do it. So I sort of no longer do it, except I did watch Salt Lake twice. So I don't even know what I'm saying. But I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on Emily's energy going into the reunion, just kind of like where we are on the Emily dynamic, because she is very vocal. She's very emotional. She's very passionate right now. And I'm just kind of curious for your thoughtio.
Yeah, I think she woke up that morning. She had a lot of coffee. Mm. She took her law degree. She rubbed it all over her body. And and she, I mean, honestly, if it was her right now running for AG versus what we currently have, I'd be like, you know what? Give her a shot.
Please.
She's hyped. So she's bringing a lot of, as a lawyer, it was kind of like Star Jones. Remember back in the day when Star Jones, she'd be like, I'm a lawyer. It's a lot of that. It's a lot of that. I'm like, can you be quiet for 5 minutes? That's my whole energy for Emily during the week. I'm like, hey, I know you're about to talk again and say, as an attorney or from my perspective, as someone with law, I'm like, okay, we get it. We understand it. But not everyone is you. Can you understand that? It's really sucking the life out of me. I like when she's nice to people. I don't like when she is smarmy from a lawyer's perspective. Katie's not a lawyer and she wasn't 10 years ago and it's not going to be the same. And you just have to bottle it up. Like just, I don't know. She's exhausting me.
I did appreciate her like referencing the law though with Jen. Even though that didn't go great, I just felt like, yeah, saying to someone that Jen's explanation of events specific to Ryan doesn't make sense. Like, it feels like Jen thinks that the way that they're talking about immunity, Jen's like, well, Ryan's not a bad friend. He would never say anything about his good friend. And I'm thinking like Jennifer Lynn Padronti, like this is not... We're past the point of who is a good friend to whom. I would argue this guy's not being a good friend to Ryan if he's involving him, wink, wink, in like maybe stuff that's not great or they're taking PJs that's paid for with bad money.
He never should have asked him to use his bank account. Like, how hard is it to make a bank account? You go to the bank and you open an account. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not difficult. It's really not. It's worse to get a friend involved and say, can I use your bank account for a man to send you funds? You know, for his gambling debts.
Wouldn't you be upset about that?
I would, but guess what? People on these shows, the type of people we're talking about, are really excited to ride a private jet. And they'll put up with a lot of shit to take a nice vacation and ride a private jet. Like, I think that's, you know, and they're good friends. They hang out, they go gambling, they laugh together. So it's like, how much will you put up with a man dragging you into this entire scheme? Water under the bridge. He comes to your engagement party. You laugh about it. He's my money launderer. LOL. You move on.
There are times when Emily is saying things and I'm like, you're doing too much, but also times where I'm appreciative of some of the too much.
For sure. For sure. It's just a lot. I feel like it's really attorney perspective heavy in areas it doesn't need to be. I don't like when it's the smarmy stuff. That's what I'm going to say. But when she comes in with actual concern for people or trying to really be an advocate, which is what an attorney, you know, that whole thing is, it's like, well, yeah, that's helpful. Thank you so much. But not when she assumes that she knows every single thing or that she judges people for not having her perspective.
It feels like she's at an 11 at points. And I'm like, yeah. I need to see the 0 to 10 because it's just you're bringing a lot of energy right now. And I just don't know why we haven't scaled back just an inch. It feels like we're doing the lead up to we're still in a place of 11 talking about these events, which is like technically how a housewife has to be when you're, you know, recording a confessional, which is like your, you know, subconscious stream of consciousness kind of conversation where you're supposed to still be in that moment explaining mm-hmm. to us how you feel. With Emily at the reunion, I'm like, oh, we haven't, just in terms of like self-reflection, I'm like, oh, no, we're still in confessional mode, which is a lot. It's just a lot. I understand. I don't know. I don't want to compare the two because they're very, very different. But like Gina, to me, I really understand her during the reunion. I like I get her. I get what she's saying. I appreciate her. I agree with her on a lot. And, you know, we kind of lump the two together. It's kind of interesting to see how far they diverge at points, just in how mm-hmm. they, I don't know, consider rage or something. I don't know. Very, very different emotional expressions between the two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure.
So that's Orange County. Just kidding. So there was kind of a lot that happened on Orange County.
Yeah. How many notes did I take? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5.5 pages of notes on okay. Orange County.
That's 5.5 more than I have. So mazel to you.
Thank you.
I do want to ask you a question.
Hmm.
How are we feeling about Katie?
You know, I like Katie. I don't think Katie is like malicious. I do think that she, she's giving me a look. But I do think that her position on things, her perspective on things has been at odds, obviously. And I think a lot of the beef that she's having with Heather, which has been the real reason why I think things have escalated and turned negative for her. And now they've called in the I'm an attorney. And now it's Heather and Emily against Katie, which has been extremely annoying. And that's part of the reason that I'm annoyed with Emily, which I talked about this in my pod. I was completely disgusted with.
Did I introduce you?
I don't know. No, you did.
No, I didn't. I started to say.
They know. They already read it.
Bravo, Ducking Bravo. Content creator and host of the pod High and Low. Hot and cold. Yeah. High and low. High and low.
Okay.
So
when they were going against her last week and saying like, oh, no, but the police don't lie. And, you know, the Georgia man said this. That was really the last straw for me for both of them. I was like, do you hear what you're saying right now? So going forward, it's hard for me to be anti-Katie and pro-Heather and Emily because I see how dirty they're willing to be and how completely skewed their mind is when it comes to taking her down at any cost and letting all logic and reason, which is Emily's whole thing, right? I'm a lawyer. I'm logical. Well, you're not thinking logically right now. You're thinking with nothing but disdain and emotion. Like, put some facts, you know, facts forward, please. So I don't know. It's irritating. But Katie, I feel like, has obviously made some missteps, some faux pas. But I don't think she deserves what she's getting, the level that she's getting, the level of research they did, the personal issues that they've gone at her for. I think it's too much.
Agree on the too much. Agree they went too far. Also think she's absolutely lying about the daughter babysitting thing and do think that she's attempting her level best. And I appreciate it. Love the effort. Really genuinely do, of coming for Heather and being like, everything you've ever done is a mean girl. Which I'm not saying she's entirely wrong in that, but she absolutely has not told the entire truth about events that have happened on this show and absolutely has not in any way been like, well, yeah, sure, I did have a vendetta against Heather and it's for these specific reasons. I'm not saying I'm Team Heather in this, but I'm not going to pretend that Katie is like totally innocent in any of this. And it's one of the better qualities about her. She's complicated. Mm-hmm. She comes in with a strategy. She's hasn't maybe performed as well according to like her specific vision as a person would want.
But she took a half court shot. Okay. Season one, she took a half court shot and she said, I'm going for Heather. I'm going for Heather. She's been rude to me. I've felt this energy and I'm going to call it out. I'm going to be memorable my first season. I appreciate that.
I absolutely appreciate that. She took a big swing, and I would argue she missed. She missed. I'm sorry.
But in missing, we got other stuff. We got other stuff.
True. She does. She has opened the door through Heather being mad at her to show Heather in her full.
The door that Alexis couldn't find. Yes, that's where it was.
The door that Alexis was practicing in the car, yes. Which she said she wasn't. And then we got extra footage because production hates her because we all have eyes.
They really do. Yeah.
Alexis, I would never lie. I never did that cut to unseen footage. Shannon hadn't even seen that unseen footage. And she knew that Alexis was a piece of shit. Like, I just think with Katie, I'm like, I'm not going to pretend that like she didn't have a plan, and I'm not going to pretend that she succeeded in this, but I am appreciative of her service. But do I think that she has lied to us? 100% I do. Do I think that her kid lied, which Katie may or may not have known, wink, wink, about what the twins said when she was babysitting? 100% I do.
Do you? I don't know. See, the thing is, like, I'm willing to not know. I'm happy to not know because they're 9-year-olds and maybe people, children hear everything. I'm just saying, children hear everything.
Here's what I'm going to go off of. I'm not even going off of Emily being like, we would never do that. I'm going off of Emily describing Shane's response.
Yeah, that was great. And I thought his response was great of like, we're shutting this down. We're not doing this. I was like, but that's very mature of Shane.
The way that Shane responded, the way that Emily responded, being like, do you think I would say these things in front of my kids because of Shane, tells me, one, something about their relationship and sort of like parenting style, but it also tells me that that is so out of pocket. Her kids absolutely did not say that. And I think what happened is their fucking babysitter was like, blah, 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 mommy's friends work stuff. You know, what do you think of Heather Dubrow, the woman who's like mean to my mom, the woman who's mean to your mom? And the kids are like, I don't know, whatever. And then say to their parents, thank God, thank God. You know, she mentioned something about like Heather not being nice. Like, what's going on? It's so inappropriate. And I also don't like, Katie ended it by being like, well, maybe she's lying, I don't know, which is valid. But I swear to God, if Katie had really wanted to, she would have sat her daughter down and been like, listen, this is really serious. I need to know what happened. And I think her daughter would have been honest with her. I don't like the fact. And actually, you know what? I think she said she did. So I think Katie did say I sat her down again. So I do want to give her credit for that. But I also still think her kid lied. And I don't like that we're even having this conversation. Her child is an adult. But
I don't. Do you know why we're having this conversation?
Because her child brought it to TV.
Sure. Yeah. But do you know why, really, though? Want to get to it? That was footage we never would have seen, but Tamara brought it up.
What? Because Katie already told her?
Because they said it at the little pottery date, whatever that they had, but they had to flash back to it when Tamara brought it up. They didn't show it when they had that original pottery date. So when Tamara brings it up to people, they flash back to that episode and it's like unseen footage that we didn't see. So if Tamara hadn't been like, you know what? I'm going to stir the pot. I'm going to really get shit going. I'm going to bring up the fact that Katie's daughter brought up that these two little 9-year-old boys said something negative about Heather. And she's pretending at the reunion to be like, I thought it was funny. The hell you did. You knew that Heather Dubrow was going to lose her mind. I think it never would have aired. It was on the cutting room floor, is my viewpoint of it.
Historical friends.
Mm-hmm.
Her response to that, Heather Dubrow being like, I would never say that, tells me absolutely that happened. 100%. She paused and was like, we're historical friends. That is such a specific term. She's directly saying we are friends because of the history of doing the show together. 1,000% Heather Dubrow meant it in a shady way. 1,000%. Everybody's a liar. It's not like a Katie, yeah, whatever. Everybody's lying. Everybody's lying on that stage. Everybody. Except maybe for Jen, because she doesn't want to.
I think Jen plays above board. And that's why I like Jen, because you don't need to lie on these shows. Like, you can have a really good show without trying to be a conniving bitch. You really can.
The number one thing that my mom wants is for me to connect with the son of a woman who sold her a couch. The number two thing she wants is for me to, obviously, give her a call and find a way to keep our memories close. So luckily, this holiday season, I have given her the gift of an Aura digital picture frame. It's another amazing way to stay in touch. I live in New York City. The fam lives in RI. And while my mom wants me to visit every day if I could, there are ways to keep us connected. And of course, I've been known to send my mom throwback pics of us, Jeff and I as kids, nights that my mom and I have had out here in New York when she's come to visit. And I know that those memories are meaningful. Aura Frames was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. And Fast Company said the simple, stylish digital picture frame can replace social media in your life. So the next time you need to call your mom, BCC the Tobes, You can also send her a new pic of you from that trip you're telling her all about right from your phone. For a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames by using promo code AndysGirls at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code AndysGirls. This exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is their best of the year, so don't miss out. Terms and conditions apply. Do you like free stuff? Well, you're in luck because Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal starts now, and they are giving away free gifts with purchase. That's right. I have an exclusive advance invite to Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal for the entire month of November. This is their best sale of the entire year. If you're feeling stressed out or haven't been sleeping well lately, you are not alone. You might not be able to change all the chaos out there, but you can start supplementing with one key nutrient to improve your sleep quality, as well as over 600 other biochemical reactions in your body. Magnesium Breakthrough is the only product I've found that has all the magnesium forms in one convenient bottle. You'll open less bottles, spend less money, and still get the top 7 forms of magnesium for better sleep, manage stress, balance hormones, improve mood, feel refreshed, all in one bottle. You can only get this exclusive deal through my link special for AGs. Go to buyoptimizers.com/AndysGirls and use code AndysGirls to get your discount and free gifts today. And one last thing you should all know, all Buy Optimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund up to 1 year after your purchase, no questions asked. Again, the link to go right now for the exclusive code is buyoptimizers.com/AndysGirls using code AndysGirls. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
I honestly think actually taking it back, Jen's not lying, which I did say, but also Gina's not lying.
I can't. I'm trying to think of an occasion when I thought Gina was lying. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
She hasn't lied, and she isn't lying to herself.
Yeah, that's
like,
important.
You could make the argument some of these lies are because, like, I don't want to acknowledge the truth. But Gina's not playing that game.
You can make the argument too that the people who lie the most are the people who also lie to themselves the most.
I mean, my mm-hmm. broken bird queen, Shannon.
Yeah,
my broken.
Now what I. Your broken bird queen.
Tweet, tweet. Did you see what Stephanie Ruhle said on Watch What Happens? I didn't see the episode, but I saw the clip. Stephanie Ruhle, a literal queen, said she's so broken she fixed herself.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, tweet, tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Tweet, tweet.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, I was not prepared to hear about TikTok on the episode. I was shocked by that. And I was like, I got to go find this video because they were all mad that apparently Katie's 20-year-old adult daughter made a video saying, like, you're all lying bitches who suck dick. I don't know. It's a song. It's a lyric. So I thought this whole time when they show Heather Dubrow saying, your daughter's saying that I'm a bitch who sucks dick. I was like, damn, this show's getting good. But all it is a song lyric.
Wait, low key, like, I have said critical things about Katie and everybody else on that couch. I didn't understand why it was a big deal. I'm so sorry.
I don't understand why it's a big deal either. It's a song. Her daughter's being funny on TikTok. Shut up. Get off your high horse. Get off a toad. It's not that big of a deal.
They're literally like, my kids would never say that. And I'm like, maybe your kids aren't that creative. Like, I don't mean that. What I'm trying to say is, like,
my children would never make a funny TikTok that would amuse thousands.
Here's the thing. It's probably not great that it, like, referenced, like, the fact that they're, like, ugly sluts or whatever. Like, I don't remember what the lyric
is. Is that what it was?
I don't know. No, it definitely
it's
wasn't.
It's a song lyric. Calm down, everyone.
It's a TikTok thing. It's like she's calling them a whore or something. But, like, she doesn't mean it. She's saying, like, you fucked with my mom and I don't like you.
I like that.
I get their perspective of not loving it. And I do think ideally the kids shouldn't be involved. But if we look at like Salt Lake City, where Brooks Marks has been a friend of for multiple
seasons. Oh, please. Right. Right. He was talking about seeing Jen's vagina.
I mean, not a great moment. Not a great moment. But and Gia, who would never say those things, but is a friend of on New Jersey. Don't give me those eyes. I love Gia. I love Gia.
Gia's fantastic. But I'm saying Gia has also found herself in the mix. Like, why is Katie's daughter not allowed to be shady?
Because Katie's daughter was literally like, I'm going to make jokes about your being a whore or whatever. Like,
I'm just going to say right now, if my mother was on Real Housewives and I'm 20 and these bitches are being mean to her out the gate.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what a menace I would be? Can I tell you how unhinged and wild I would have these women crying? Like,
it is also like mommy can have fun, but you can't. So yeah. It's like if you're 20 and I don't speak TikTok, I'm not saying I want someone to tell me to suck a bag of dicks.
You got to be able to take a joke. Jeez, take a joke on the show.
It was a joke. And you could tell that Katie, and the way she was talking about it, she's like, I was on the fence.
You could tell. You could tell that Katie was like, I cannot believe that we're talking and they're really like upset about this. 100%.
And her response of like, I'm on the fence of this, and they're all attacking her for being on the fence. I honestly do kind of get that because I'm like, this isn't real.
It's TikTok.
It's TikTok. It's a thing that doesn't exist that I will never be on.
It's my life.
It's your life, and I love your Friday Instagram stories where you do a compilation. I watch it essentially every single fucking week. That is how I am on TikTok. I technically have an account. I think I posted a Shannon video but I don't even know how to do it. So I posted it like it was an Instagram. Like, I don't want to be a part of that. I couldn't want to be a part of it less. So like, I'm sure that I'll be hyping it probably next week because people keep telling me that I have to like be on social, and I'm like, absolutely not. It's not my journey. So as a total outsider, I get that they don't like that the daughter is like sexualizing them. So I understand what they're saying, but the
I haven't even seen it. I need to go see the actual video, but really, for grown women to be like upset that a 20-year-old is poking fun, I wouldn't have known about it if they hadn't talked about it. So it's like you give life to something negative if you focus on it, you know, like just let it go. It's a kid. She's in this weird place where it's like she's no longer a minor, but she's finding her way. She's living with her mom. She obviously loves her mom. I always think that's such a good sign if the child is like batting for the mom, the same way Gia does for Teresa, the same way a lot of the other kids do. And I understand some of the kids stay out of it, but if you're mic'd, if you're mic'd and you're on the show, like, okay.
I mean, I get the upset about the babysitting thing. That, I'm like, it was too much. The kid crossed the line. With this, I'm like, I get not liking it. And it was disrespectful of her daughter to post that. I'm not taking away from that. I'm just like, the level of upset that everybody seemingly shared, I was like, this is...
And the level of self-righteousness of like, I would never, my children would never. I'm like, okay, you know what? The planet's heating up. Like, calm down. There's other shit to be worried about.
Also, they've said so much terrible stuff about each other.
Awful. Tamara's screaming, terrible things.
You're a fugly slut to everybody every 5 minutes. So we're supposed to pretend... I don't know. I get it. But it's also like a respect thing, like respect the grown-ups, but also the grown-ups don't respect the other grown-ups. So like,
no,
why can't
don't.
The kid have fun? I don't know. Yeah. I feel, I know. Just, I don't know. I don't know. I did laugh about that because they
I was
were
amused.
So upset. I appreciated their upset because I thought it was funny. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It was funny.
You know what else was funny? Alexis Bellino being the worst.
Terrible. Awful with that same stale updo, that prom updo. I'm so done. So done with Alexis.
I thought she looked great. I thought the dress was great. I didn't like the earring thing, but I thought she looked great in the dress. It was like sort of sparkly, like, but in an interesting kind of
No, I remember the dress.
Thing.
I remember the earring. I'll have to go back.
Just this weird well, cheap we'll see her silver again. Thing. It looked terrible. But I don't know what to do with the Alexis of it all because judging by things that have been said since the reunion, again by a certain Mr. Lewis, Jeff, he said he spoke to Shannon this past week and that she what was the language? He was like, she was really appreciative for Tamara stepping up to her at the reunion. And I just thought to myself, if this motherfucker, I cannot do this again, which means I absolutely can. And I'll be fully seated and watch every episode 18 times.
We always will.
But
we'll
like,
be there.
If I could say one thing to Shannon, followed by 75,000 more things, the thing that I would say is like, Shannon, if you want to think of a single moment from the reunion, and this is me just picking out one little moment, the moment I would think about is during part two, when Emily is joining in support of Shannon and like dragging Alexis. There is a moment where Tamara turns to her and goes, because she doesn't want Emily. And this is when Emily Legal Eagle, I'm like, yeah, girl, like, keep it going. Stay at an 11. We don't always dislike 11. This is 11 for good. This is for the good of humanity.
Yeah, this is using your powers for good, not evil.
We love it. Keep it up, babe, because we know the clip for next week is wild and I love it and I fully support and I stand. But there is that moment when Tamara's like, shh, and she says it as a joke, as a light joke to Emily of shut the fuck up, because she doesn't want Shannon to have that kind of like well communicated defense. She doesn't want her to have that support. And that's the thing that Shannon won't think about because she doesn't see it. But that's the thing I would hope that she knows.
I'm getting heated. I'm going to take my sweater up. This, you know what this reminds me
take
of?
Take off your clothing.
This reminds me of the Beverly Hills reunion where I think Lisa signed her own death warrant from the show, which was when Dorit was going after Erica. And Lisa, I know you remember this. And Lisa gave her a tap on the leg for her to stop.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And she took her direction and she stopped. And she no longer asked any questions, tough questions of Erica. And it's right then we knew, like the fix was in, that it was, that it, like Lisa was orchestrating kind of how people were being. And I think that's Tamara. She came back to produce. She's always trying to stir up crap. And she tapped in her own way to Emily to get her to stop. It's like, why do you get to do that? And first of all, I wish Andy would notice these things and call it out. I wish they need to have somebody in the wings who's watching like a hawk and Andy with an earpiece and be like, Tamara just told Emily to shush. Lisa just tapped the leg. You need to call that out.
Yeah, but Andy's also like wrangling a pack of wild cats. So I don't know.
I know. But I mean, he's like, still like, he's got to stay on it.
Listen, I think this has been one of Andy's best reunions.
He's doing great. I was
His
excited.
His reaction to Shannon, the way he's like, Shannon, don't say anything bad about Alexis. Because
I know that was so sweet.
And she's like, I won. And he's giggly.
He's excited because he's like, oh, yeah, you won.
Andrew Cohen would never say anything bad about you. Never have, never will.
That was a wonderful moment. I love that they showed that with the closed captioning for everyone. That was great.
We need to appreciate this man. Not always, but like when he does well, I just think his performances on reunions lately have been really solid. And by lately, I mean, like, I'm just thinking specifically of Orange County. And that's the history of the world right now for me. That's the whole universe. It's just I'm spinning around it. It's just that's the way it's rolling. I just really think he's having fun and his reactions to moments. I said this on a solo pod, like his reactions to stuff. I'm right there with you, sir. I'm giggling.
Yeah, he's shining.
He's a shining star.
We have seen some reunions where he's like obviously either tired or he's hungry or something's going on in his life where he's over it. He's like, all right, enough. But these ones, he's full of joy. He's got that smile on his face, that old spark where it's like, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. He's just smiling as these ladies are like ripping into each other. He's like, Heather, you started this thing by saying you didn't like when people research each other. He's coming at it from such a joyful point of view that it's really helpful because you don't get like too mired into the crap. He pulls you back out and he brings levity and I'm loving it.
Can I just say, I love having you on the podcast. I would have you
Can
on
I just
every
say, I
day.
Love being on, I just love being
just
on the
love
podcast.
I just love it. I just love talking to you and like your energy, you're always spot on. It's just a literally just a joy, a genuine joy.
You know what? Kindred spirits is what we are.
We're literally just looking at each other like beaming.
Look at us.
Look at us. All right. Look at us. Listen, So Alexis comes on and she, again, ball of dicks.
Which, let me just say how much I loved that. When everybody knew she was coming on, they start talking shit immediately at lunch. And they're like, well, it's not going to be about us. She's going to just be talking. So just, we're going to have a break. It's going to have a lunch and then a break because here she comes, the crazy. And that did endear me back in because I was having a bad time with Emily after she came for Katie the way she did. But then when Emily and Gina were talking trash about Alexis, I was like, okay, girls. Okay, girls, you're bringing me back in.
The thing that makes me mad about Alexis, aside from like a lack of cognitive reasoning and basic
so many things. Where do we begin?
Now, here's where we begin.
Angie Scroll from Salt Lake City. That's literally what mine would be.
Alexis thinks she's the scroll, but she's like the backside. You know what I'm saying? Like there's nothing written there. It's just a long piece of paper. When she said to Shannon, I want to say more than once, you're not smart. Because Shannon was sued by a man for hundreds, Mr. Bellino, sir, you know, the king, if he's listening, almighty. She was sued by him and lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, but won the case. And Alexis Bellino is saying,
I know what you're saying.
Because my ex-husband lost a court case and cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars, but you just should have sit down and taken it and written him a check from the beginning. And
you should have done what I do with the patriarchy, which is just grab your ankles.
No, ma'am. That's not what we do here. And I loved Shannon telling the backstory of how she was going to settle just to avoid the whole issue. But she went out to dinner. It was too late for the paperwork to go in. He saw her at a restaurant and he openly mocked her, ridiculed and laughed at her, according to Shannon's story. And then she was like, I'm not going to settle with you. I'm going to fight this. I love my Aries queen. I love Shannon for that, for saying, you know what? Screw you, dude. I see you're doing this for like ego, horrible reasons just to drag me. You're not like actually personally upset probably about this whole thing. Like you're making fun. You see me out at a restaurant and this is how you're going to act towards me. I love that. I love that she told that story. And the fact that Alexis still thinks that way, which somebody posted, they found a clip of her from back in the day at a reunion where Andy was saying to her, I know you saw it. It was in my stories. I think I tagged you. Where Andy was saying to her, like, oh, I know that your position is that you don't think women should be in charge of things or run things. What would you say to your daughters when they get older? You don't think that a woman, you know, could ever be president, which is why somebody posted it. And she was like, yeah, no, I just think men should be in charge. This is who we're talking about. She's lost to us. She is a pick me to the marrow of her bones, the nucleus of every cell in her body. Knows nothing other than I do what I do through life every day from the minute I get up to the minute I go to bed because it's what would please a man or what a man has told me to do. And so for her to come on that show and sit on that little couch and think that she's going to sass Shannon about a lawsuit that Shannon won and make her feel like that was somehow the wrong thing to do, get her out of here. Why are we listening to this woman? She's such an embarrassment to women, in my opinion. She takes us back like 100 years at least. I'm sweating.
I love it's cardio. The worst thing that you can do in Alexis's eyes is, is like drag a man's reputation. Is that the lesson we're learning here? The worst thing.
Well, she's a walking protector of men's egos.
It is kind of wild. And she's 2 for 2 in making a really bad call. Like if I'm thinking of like the worst men on the planet right now, it's like Putin. I don't even know. Who else is there? Who else is there? Who's a very
Where do we
man?
Begin? There's so many we don't even know.
Putin, Matt Gaetz, and Johnny J. All equal in the level of evil they have brought to the world. Genuine, like, I mean, like, sweetie, he's a bad man and he won't. The thing that Shannon said, the thing that Emily has said, this is Emily Legal Eagle. Emily, forget everything we said at the beginning of the episode. Never.
Sure. No, we're always on a clean slate. We get it out and we're clean slate and we move on. This is what it is.
Clean slate. Emily being like, and Shannon referencing Emily and being like, the reason you dumb fuck sitting there with the beautiful dress, loved it, beautiful dresses, beautiful gowns, The reason I won't agree to just giving him a check for fucking kicks is because he will not sign a mutually beneficial non-disparagement. The thing, if he really gave a single fuck about Shannon not ever mentioning him again, he would be the first to sign that because he wants her to stay quiet, but not as much as this man wants to remain tangentially associated with fame. That's why he's not signing it. Alexis is the dumbest person I've ever not met in my entire fucking life.
She's the easiest mark.
She's the easiest, dumbest mark, which doesn't mean she can't be right about stuff. But on this, she's so fucking wrong. She doesn't get that. Because again, as you said, she's like, well, if the man wants it, you should just give it to him because that makes it right.
Yeah.
Why would Shannon sign over $70,000 when this man is trying to blackmail, extort her, whatever the appropriate word is?
Yeah, here's money, but also keep talking shit about me.
It doesn't. Literally, it doesn't make sense. And when he's alleging he has really shocking, dangerous, whatever proof from the night of the accident.
And she's threatening it the whole show. She's like, the videos. He's at the end of his rope and he's going to reduce the videos.
Why would you give a man $70,000?
To continue to abuse you.
Yes.
He's abusing her. Emotionally abusing her, allegedly.
Yes.
Comedy podcast.
You know, I think it is. Like, it's our opinion, and it's you know, my opinion from the beginning was that this is a form, and even Emily has said it on the show, like, this is essentially what they're doing is, like, you do this or else. And that's not always legal to do and say, I have something on you, and if you don't act the way I want you to act and make me look good and retract bad things you said about me and say good things about me, then I'm going to put out this horribly negative thing and you don't know what it is. And we're going to build it up and make it seem like it's going to completely ruin you. And now you got Katie whispering about what she's been told it is in a shop with Emily. And I think she said it was like, apparently they have video of her like almost hitting his daughter or something. That's crazy to be putting out there and saying. And Shannon has no idea what's on it. And it was like one of the worst nights of her life. And her entire thing is like trying to make up for it. This whole season has been, I don't know how Shannon is doing it. I really don't. And then she says that on the show of like, all of you have said to me, you don't even know how I'm doing this. That's how difficult this has been. It's rough. It's rough to watch.
If I was Alexis, but smart, I would tell John to sign the mutually non-disparagement because I could continue running my mouth. It's just between Shannon and John. Alexis could continue to say that Shannon is a piece of shit and use John as a mouthpiece. But both of them have decided that her big, strong, short king, you know, man with the Aerosmith scarf, but like from Home Goods from 30 years ago, like that this piece of shit she purchased from heaven above, but also he is like literally, if you like ordered a man on Amazon Prime, you know, he's made wherever, it was very cheap,
Alibaba,
not good.
Alibaba,
he's not giving me Etsy gentleman, he's giving me overnight immediate delivery, and this is just the shell, this is the shell that you have received. Alexis could continue doing what she's doing now, which is parroting John, but neither of them can stand the idea that John wouldn't be involved on a public
John
stage.
Wants to be mic'd up, I'm sure. I'm sure he got a thrill out of that. And yeah, this is their thing. This is what gives them a reason to wake up in the morning, apparently, because that's all they're doing is just coming for Shannon over and over and over.
If she wasn't lying about him,
why don't you just realize, like, the greatest revenge is go live a good life? Why don't you actually make him look good instead of doing nothing but attacking this woman and saying, that's not true, he's great. Why don't you show us how he's great? I haven't heard one thing.
I haven't heard one fucking thing. I just kind of feel, and like the reasoning that like, well, it was alone, it very well may have been alone. Like Shannon is disputing that. Other members of the cast are like, well, you know, we don't know. Like promissory note after the fact, email acknowledging it was alone. Like that's to me neither here nor there, which is very easy for me to say because it's not about the money.
It's not. If he had signed the NDA, then I'd be like, okay, they're settled. They're good. You know, maybe there was some outstanding stuff.
you know, she paid for a ton of stuff during the relationship, but it wasn't a lot. I don't know. I don't care is the point. Like, they have that stuff to work out between in their relationship. She obviously made some bad choices in buying him shit and being very generous with him. And then when he gives her money, he wants every dime back. Ain't that just the way? Ain't that just like a man? You know what I'm saying? Right?
Not a man.
We expect nothing less. You're right. Ain't that just like a loser? It really is. But just to be done with him, this would have been over months ago. We didn't even really need to even hear about this. But we're hearing about it because he won't sign that NDA and he wants us to keep going, I'm sure. And it's a spite thing. It's like this emotional loser guy who won't let this go. Anyway, I think Alexis looks like a fool. And I stand by the fact that I think that he picked her out at the Quiet Woman and was like, that's my in. I don't think they accidentally ended up talking.
I don't know about that. Like, I could 100% see them, like, running into each other because there's no other restaurants in Coda de Casa or Orange County in general. But I could see them both getting off on the attention that they received. You know,
that's what I mean. It's like, that's perfect. Like, out of all the people that he could have chatted up, he's like a former housewife, someone that her husband sued Shannon. Like, it's just...
Listen, who among us hasn't, you know, dated a bad man? It's just on Alexis for her behavior while she's currently...
Well, this is a pattern for her, right? So it's like she's stuck. She's stuck with that first bad boyfriend you ever had where you learned and you became stronger and you like understood that some men are just horrible and you have to be on the lookout. She never learns that lesson, apparently.
And this is her third wedding, third marriage, three times a charm.
Great. Have a wonderful time.
And I loved when Andy was like, do you have a wedding date? And she said, yes, pause in the next 12 calendar months. I was like, babe, you don't even want to tell us what quarter we're in. Like, is there going to be fake snow outside or, you know,
I don't care.
Butterflies or some shit?
Yeah, I don't want to hear about it.
I would like to know so that I can leave the country during that time and not have access to internet and just go with Shannon to see, you know, to like Switzerland or Sweden or something and just live our best lives. Not London, apparently. London is not calling.
No.
Listen, we do need to switch to Salt Lake City. But before we do, just how are we feeling about Tamara? Like, what's the just very simple.
So this whole therapy thing, I think, is very convenient. I think Tamara realizes that she looked horrible. I thought it was interesting, too, that they were like, where did Eddie sleep that night after the horrible dinner party? And she tried to lie about it. And then they rolled the footage where she told Gina that he didn't sleep there or something. He wasn't in. And she's like, oh, well. Maybe he slept on the couch because you were so drunk. You probably don't even remember that he didn't sleep in the same bed as you. So I thought that was funny. I like when she gets caught in her little lies because she's trying to be very mature and stoic during this reunion. Mm-hmm. But then she's also being extremely mean. Mm-hmm. So she's trying to pretend like she's somebody she's not. We're like, we know you, Tamara. Stop it. And they're talking about, her therapy thing. And I think she realizes she went too far and the season got out of control and she played a hand that she didn't have the cards to back up. And then they asked her why she's going to therapy. And she did that classic line of, when everyone tells you you're dead, it's time to lie down. Mm-hmm. So at least she's hearing feedback.
It's fun because she's trying to Rinna both before and after.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing the Rinna, it's too much. I'm now a conspiracy theorist. And she's also doing the Rinna Blue Bunny to Kim. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's fun. That's a fun combination. I love a swirl. So good for you. You know, like, where are the rainbow sprinkles? Like, that's wild. It's wild because we all know she doesn't mean this. But like, dot, dot, dot. What if she does?
Yeah, I think we know who Tamara is. We know who Alexis is.
What a journey. What a life. I understand that technically Orange County allegedly maybe fake news will be over next week, but I will continue talking about it until the end of time. I'm never going to be over this season. Not now. As a Shan stan, we'll never have this time ever again.
No, this season for Shannon is every time we see a season with Shannon, we think, oh my God, how could things possibly, this poor woman, you know, the ex-husband. And I start Charities Megan, everything that we've been through with her. And it never ends. Shannon is always tested.
Always tested. God is testing her, the rest of the cast. I mean, but just having the support of such a big segment of the audience, like, I'm so used to like Kate Bush like running up that hill, and there's just something I'll never get over, like people like temporarily, you know, getting a little stamp on their passport for coming on over to Team Shan. Like, this will never happen again. I understand that. I acknowledge it. I just, like, as someone who has, like, taken on the emotional labor of being so closely connected to my God, you know? Like, my God, yeah. My angel, my queen, my broken bird forever mm-hmm. and ever, amen. I just want to, you know, it's been tough for her. It's been, you know, tough for us, but also healing. And I just want to maybe thank everyone who begrudgingly forced into a corner have assigned themselves temporarily as Team Shan, like, you know, for a reason or a season or a lifetime. Just no matter how long you're here, you'll always be home. And just thank you so much. It means a lot to
yeah.
me. It means a lot to me.
Yeah, that's important. That's important.
You know what else is important? Talking about those motherfuckers in Salt Lake, because they gave us a extra long episode.
Boy, did they. I wasn't expecting it.
Let me know when it's going to be an extra 15 minutes. We all have, you know, lives. I don't, but other people do. And I just let me know when it's going to be extra long, because usually in the last 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, then they're going to drop something, whatever, and then it's done. When you give me an extra 15 out of nowhere and it's not a finale or a premiere, it's a lot for my system to take. My body has been through a lot.
I agree. It feels very long. It feels like you're in the last, you know, quarter mile of a marathon. You just like got to keep going. I'm like, how much longer is this going to go? I don't like it when they go over like that. I think only in extenuating circumstances should the episode be lengthier. But I think that's how important it was for them to show us what a big deal it was for Lisa to ride coach. Because the entire last 15 minutes was Lisa freaking out about being in a coach seat on a small airplane for a 65-minute flight.
Here's what I would be freaking out. Being on a small fucking plane. We're skipping over. I was like, is she for? No, it's not about safety. She literally does not want to be physically uncomfortable. Like, what is going on in your life? Because like, what is it? Money talks, wealth whispers, and Lisa Barlow is shrieking right now. And I just kind of want to be like, girl, are you okay?
No, it's the prestige. It's the whole thing. It's the pageantry. It's that I feel special. Bronwyn's going to be in first class with Todd, and she's going to be in 17C.
But if it's a small plane, all that means is like you're going to be near the front. She's talking about accoutrement.
You're making a critical error right now, which is you're applying logic to this.
And then her being like, well, Henry's okay. So worst case scenario, we go to LA. Ma'am, why are you going to Los Angeles? Like that doesn't to.
She wants a first class seat.
None of that makes sense. At a certain
no, it doesn't.
Point, Johnny Barlow needs to be like, Lisa, it's enough. Like this isn't no. coming from a place of fear or triggers or anything. This is just her being ridiculous like that. It's nuts behavior. It's nuts,
but I see also like she's so emotional about she's having issues with Bronwyn, she's having issues with other people, she for her own, I think it's two things combined. I think it's a perfect storm, right? On in her own mind, she's not a person who rides coach, okay? Whereas if you actually know anybody who's truly wealthy, they are interested in saving that wealth, and they're probably fine riding coach for a 65-minute flight. She didn't even buy the ticket. Bronwyn arranged for everyone to get there and to get back. So I think it's a little bit of an issue with her because Bronwyn's in first class. So there was first class available. There was only four seats. And Lisa feels like she should have been one of those four seats. But you can't shit on the person who's doing the trip and expect that you're going to be in first class.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
Also, her, not to be insane, but like Angie's was like row 19, I want to say. Lisa's was 17. So it wasn't even like she was like in the last row of their group of friends.
Yeah. And if it's a small plane, it's probably like 2 and 2 or 1 and 2, you know? And on those small flights, like first class, you're lucky to get a drink before you take off, and that's it. And that's it. There's no other real special perk other than a little bit of room. It's a quick hop. It's a quick flight. You got there on a private jet. We need to stop because it doesn't matter. There's no logic to it.
But there's also, like the way I'm like puzzled. There's also, I think, a lack of logic that Lisa, my queen, top five for the rest of my life.
Top five.
Is applying to other stuff where I'm like, how is she not understanding that what Bronwyn is trying to say is like, you're not asking me how I am. Lisa, it's not a question of like, only is Heather being wrong for the things she's saying. It's like, if you see one person who's upset and it was a two-person conversation and you're friends with both people, I wish you had checked in on me, and I need to ask you to do that. The fact that Bronwyn has had how many conversations with Lisa trying to explain to her that friendship like means something, I do feel a little wild while I'm watching those convos take place.
Makes perfect sense, because Lisa said in her confessional, I do think Bronwyn is two-faced. So that's the answer.
That's true.
She doesn't want to say to her friend, I do think you've been two-faced. I brought you on the show, and I do think that Heather was right in her assessment. She doesn't want to say that. She wants to try to keep it light. And then Bronwyn was correct in her confessional of being like, maybe Lisa's just going to be like a surface level type friend, and that's what I need to accept from her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not going to stick up for you in a crowded room, period.
But it's also like, if you're looking at this as a game, like Heather's going to win. If the prize is Lisa Barlow.
If that's the prize. Heather, I was thinking this the whole episode. I was like, Heather's going to love watching this. Yeah. She's going to be so happy watching this and seeing that Lisa would not hear her old friend who flew her there in a private jet. All the things that Heather will never be able to provide to Lisa. Things that matter to Lisa. Bronwyn's in a $4 million She brought a $4 million diamond necklace to an episode, and that still did not get her a win with Lisa. That means there's no win possible. Yeah.
That's got to be tough. She does say in one of her confessionals, like, you should whatever, because I bought your friendship. Like, Bronwyn,
I know.
That, like,
you can't buy it.
Can't buy it.
That's kind of tough. That's what we learned.
I've got to be kind of pissed, because Bronwyn is like more money than God in this cast.
Now, if I was Bronwyn, let me tell you what I would do. I'd be like, hey, Lisa, I'm in first class. I'll switch with you if, like, you know what I mean? Like, how important is it to you to ride first class? Do you want to admit anything to me right now? Do you want to say anything to me right now? Like, no? Okay. That's the one thing Lisa wants the bat. Like, that's the one thing she can't stop talking about is sitting in first class. Leverage that.
I don't understand Heather and Lisa Barlow's friendship. And I understand that, like, we don't need to understand, but, like, it's...
Heather has worked hard. Heather has done this brick by brick, okay? She has been working... So we're on season 5. She has been working since season 1. You remember what it was like for her season 1. She was the outcast. They joked on her. They made fun of her. Her stock was real low. And that's when she got all the fan support of like, Heather, it's okay. We're behind you, Heather. When she needed friends and she needed that confidence, like, I'm good enough to be here. I'm good enough to be a housewife. And she has been fixated, I think, on getting Lisa Barlow to be her real friend and to accept her and to like her. She wants that acceptance from Lisa Barlow so much. And she finally has it. How'd she get it? By like just buttering up Lisa, being team Lisa, conniving for Lisa, with Lisa at all times. And she's finally gotten there. I think she's going to love this episode. She might watch this like every night before she goes to bed.
If anyone has any criticism of Tamara and Heather's relationship being transactional, which I 100% support, Heather and over on Salt Lake City, Heather Gay and Lisa Barlow. I mean, I get that there's some other stuff going on, but also on its face, specific to the show and show strategy, I think it couldn't be more transactional. It's odd.
Yeah, but I think Lisa realizes she has a loyal soldier in Heather, you know? Like Heather's gonna report to Lisa when she hears something shitty being said about her, just like she did in the salt room. She's gonna run tell it to Lisa every single time. She calls her on the phone, she starts talking crap about Bronwyn. She races over to the spa to entertain them as they're unwinding from their massage. She's on call.
And the husbands seem to have taken on an interesting role this episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of husband activity. It was husband forward, for sure.
Seth screaming, you're a biatch or something.
Oh, here's a receipt, biatch, or something like that. He wasn't calling somebody a biatch. He was saying, here's a receipt, biatch. He was trying to be cool. And in doing so, per usual,
uncool.
He didn't do himself any favors. The bucket hat. Yelling, biatch.
The Brooks Marks had as well.
Amazing.
He, the least amount of time that Seth Marks can spend talking or in a, you know, kind of spotlight position on the show, the better for him and also us.
He's a goof. But I will say he did cut the tension at that dinner. That was a rough, or was it lunch? It was lunch. That was so tense. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's when I started sweating. I was like, this is like an episode of The Office. It's so awkward. So his little thing about let's go play volleyball and does your pee smell? I was like, all right, whatever, chatterbox. Like, just thank you for changing the subject.
Absolutely valid points. But, you know, conversely, or adding on to that, if you are going to challenge a man for something he has said on a podcast and you haven't listened to the podcast.
Oh my God, I know. Especially if it's about your child. If somebody said something about a loved one of mine, I would have it ingrained, like on the side of a building. I would have it ingrained in my memory of the exact quote and the context. So for them to go after him at the table, at least excuse yourself to the bathroom and go look it up on your phone really quick. And I tell you what I appreciated. For the first time, Bravo took a moment and played the actual clip of the offending comment on a podcast. They never do that anymore. They're always like fighting about these random podcast quotes. And we as a viewer are like, I'm not doing an hour's worth of legwork to go find one sentence. So whatever, I'm not emotionally invested in this. But they played it. And then we got to actually understand. And I liked that. I'm calling him like Bodhi now in my mind, because that picture of him, of Sean, from two episodes ago where they showed him with the hair. He looks so much like Patrick Swayze to me. He was so handsome, wasn't he? In the throwback photo of him and Angie.
I'll take your word for it.
Anyway, okay. He looked great. I don't know why he's wearing his hair so short, because you can see he has a full head of hair. Let it grow, Sean, if he's listening. But anyway, I like that he didn't back down under a table full of pressure with the couple staring at him from across the table. He was like, no, I did not make fun of your son. That was not the context. And I won't like say that I did.
But it wasn't just making fun of your son. It was referencing their son, which he did do.
He did. But they were making it seem like it was somehow, there was a disconnect. And I think that the issue was they should have like really known exactly what he said and how he said it. Because what I wrote down in my little notes was, it comes down to the intent, because it was such a vague quote, the way he said it, that it could mean many things and you can absolutely perceive it in a super negative way. Or you could perceive it as kind of a nothing burger of like, yeah, you know, Meredith's whole storyline, she was making it more about these issues so she could distract from other stuff that she was doing. But he wasn't necessarily making a dig at those issues. He was just saying, Meredith. So it depends on how you look at it. You could spin it negative or neutral.
Yeah. And also I watched the two-part after show and on Bravo's YouTube, and Meredith at one point says, and I shit you not, we played the audio. We played the whole thing for everyone. Huh? I know. And she's like, and this is crazy gaslighting. And I went, huh? And then the next clipped to like somebody else talking about it and being like, she hadn't even listened to it. Seth said later that night, like, I didn't even listen to the episode. He said that, I guess, off camera. Why does she played the audio? Nobody on the after show seems to be backing up that perspective. It was a very strange thing to say.
Maybe she meant she and Seth listened to it later. But him holding up that thing, and I appreciated Angie being like, that's a clickbait headline, because that's exactly the world we live in, which is why I think Bravo viewers have to be so smart. And we are, because we understand all day long we're going to see nothing but clickbait. But it's like, where's the receipt? Like just now I saw, you know, an account posted something really salacious. First thing I do, drop in the DMs, I'm like, what's the source? Where'd you get that from? Where's this coming from? You know?
It was just a weird, I think, like, has Meredith like convinced herself that they like listened to audio, or did something happen that is not being confirmed by anybody else in the cast? And actually the reverse is happening. Allegedly Seth went up after later that night and was like, I hadn't listened to the audio, which is the exact opposite of what Meredith is saying. I don't understand.
I don't know. With these ladies, there's no way to know.
How are we feeling? I know that, you know, there's been some vibes, some thoughts. How are we feeling about Todd at this?
So Todd, I mean, I feel like I figured Todd out from the first 5 minutes that we met Todd. Todd is every man I ever worked with in corporate.
Ooh.
Todd is Todd. You know what I mean? Like, Todd does not suffer fools. Todd has no time for this. Todd has a busy schedule. And that is not the typical real housewife husband, a la Mr. Big Lots, Seth, who's willing to, like, joke around, and he's aware of the mood of everybody in the room, and he's considering the dynamic, and all the husbands are doing whatever they're doing, and they're getting into the drama. Or, a la John Barlow, they're aware of how it's all going, and they're trying to stay above the fray and support their wife. Todd is gruff. Todd doesn't want to, like, talk about what he doesn't want to talk about. And there's part of me that's always been very envious of that point of view. Todd is that guy who only gives a shit about what he thinks and how he's feeling. And he doesn't care if everybody else wants to talk about some kind of drama. I'm done with this. I don't want to talk about this. I get it.
Yeah, I think Todd heard reality TV show and thought docuseries. And he doesn't understand.
He thought Nova. He thought National Geographic.
No, I think he really did. And he's like, oh, these are interesting birds. Like, he doesn't. No, but like, for real, like, I saw a little clip of the episode for next week, even though I very rarely do that. But it was like,
I didn't watch it. Yeah.
It was posted because someone said something about like Todd, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, my little curiosity. I was like, oh, let me just watch this little moment. And he's saying to Bronwyn, like, essentially TLDR, incredibly poorly paraphrased, like, you behaved poorly, like, you should walk away.
He's giving her an assessment. He's giving her performance assessment. Okay.
He is doing a 360 review.
Nine box.
Yeah. But the problem here is, like, he's applying real world logic to a situation in which she's being coached and expected to do the exact opposite. He's like, you should de-escalate, you should diffuse, you should lower your voice. That's not why she's on this show.
You should have more executive presence. Yeah, Todd, this is not. No.
What's the Meredith thing? I just forgot it. She can't disengage every time, Todd.
No.
She can't be disengaging. Like, that doesn't work. I did think it was interesting at the little, like, anniversary dinner party that did not go terribly well that that he introduced his friend Chris to us, and Chris had a full name and a lower third. So I Googled that shit.
I wrote it down too.
This is why I warm my mind. Because I was like, well, what that lawyer fucking done? Because he said,
I know. I was like, why have we been introduced? This means something. And I was like, let me go research this man.
So this guy who has more money than God himself, Chris Clark, let's go through some of his chill clients. Mark Cuban, America's sweetheart, Elon Musk.
Stop.
Buy in democracy like it's a bow tie. Hunter Biden.
That's a fun client. You know what I'm saying?
The holy trinity of like, what the fuck? Like, it's just, I mean, this man, this is the lawyer that you call. So for Todd to have this guy as his lawyer, he's able to practice at the Supreme Court of the United States. Like,
yeah, no, but that's actually really good. Like, a lot of the lawyers that I'm friends with, like, they're at that level. They've been before the Supreme Court when that meant something.
When that meant something. So like up until, you know, yeah, whenever. Yeah, he's a big fucking deal. And I really appreciate.
I'm going to ask my lawyer friends what they think of his CV. I'm going to forward it to them.
And also ask your lawyer friends. I don't know how they would have interacted with Todd, but like, you know, Todd seems like a big fucking deal.
None of my lawyer friends watch these shows, but I will send them the CV of this lawyer.
Nobody's perfect. Maybe they should put down those books and pick up the remote. I'm just
saying. If only.
Good case law to study. Any number of these women have been arrested. I mean, we've had federal court involved. They should be keeping up
Let's and hope.
Catching on. My goodness. Yeah, I really loved and appreciated that moment. I feel like there's so much that happened. It was one of those like wild episodes. I think Lisa was wrong about almost all of it, which restores my faith in her as a supreme Bravo icon. It just was incredibly entertaining. How are you feeling about Bronwyn at this point?
I like her. You know, I did not like her in the beginning. I'm accepting her more for who she is. I'm seeing more of a 360 photo of who Bronwyn is. And I like her more than I have issues with her. In the beginning, I was like, she seems elitist. She seems out of touch. She seems like she's going to be mean. But I have found myself really kind of like having an emotional understanding of many different things about her. I understand why she was upset and why she cried with the meeting with Heather. I thought Heather was cruel and didn't need to be, and unforgiving and didn't need to be. And this way that Lisa is treating her, the entire fiasco with the grandparents of Gwen, the way that she handled that. I've been very impressed with the way that she can self-evaluate and think about how she contributes to situations. That is so extremely rare in the housewife space. When she's sitting down with Lisa, I wrote this down, I underlined it. When she's sitting down with Lisa and she says, I can understand, like, I want to hear how I contributed. I'm willing to hear how Lisa thinks that I am awful or two-faced or whatever it is. And Lisa won't even go that far with her. She just wants to be like, I don't know, it's okay. And Bronwyn's trying to have a real meaningful conversation of like, how did I offend you? What can we do in this friendship? You've always told me you need these things, and I try to give that to you. And I'm telling you right now that I'm hurt because of the way you've been defending Heather and not me. And how can we fix this? And Lisa won't go to that depth with her. She's keeping it at clear red sunglasses and not going any further. So I like her overall. So there are some things obviously that annoy me that will annoy everybody, but I think she's a good housewife.
I think the reunion is going to be, I mean, obviously LOL must watch, but holy shit. I think sitting down, seeing the things that she and Lisa have said about each other in the last several months, and also Heather's there, it's going to be gangbusters. Like, I don't know who's going to be coming for who strongest, but they're going to try to murder each other next to, you know, sitting across on a couch.
I mean, you never know. Yeah, you never know. But
I feel like we know. It's going to be fucking hot AF, like wildfire.
But they turn on each other so quickly. We'll see how hot it gets for Heather. I feel like she deserves a little bit of smoke, just a smidge.
She really does. And she's going to get around it. She always seems to get away with
shit. She usually does. She usually does with that black eye. Don't get me started.
She really,
she bobs and she weaves, but somebody really did catch her with a black eye, and we'll just never know. We'll just never know the truth behind that. We have to just accept it.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, here's what I am concerned about, and I have expressed this on my pod. I don't understand the allure. I wonder if Bronwyn's going to be on next season because Todd is not liking this so much. And they have so much money that they don't need this.
It does give a little like, is he going to allow her to continue?
Correct. He calls the shots. We see it. We understand the dynamic there. Todd is the project manager.
Yeah, she's a seasonal consultant. I mean.
No.
I don't, there is.
She reports to Todd.
There was a little bit of a Erica Tom, when I'm speaking, you shut the fuck up.
Not that bad. Not that bad.
Not that bad.
Yeah.
But not good.
But not good. I can't do it.
No,
I could never. No, I could never. Not even for a $4 million necklace. I'll throw that shit in the ocean right in front of you. Like, you're not talking to me that way. But I'm Latina, okay? So it is what it is. It is what it is. I'll grind the diamonds down in front of you without blinking.
Not to kind of like parse things at this point, but I didn't appreciate the fact that that lower third was like Bronwyn's anniversary gift, $4 million. It may have been after the fact. I highly doubt it. She was borrowing very expensive jewelry. I'm not saying they're not the most wealthy people ever of all time. Obviously they are, but it was borrowed jewelry she was quote unquote considering, but wearing for the weekend. There's nothing wrong with that. But like, he didn't officially give it to her unless we missed that part, which I don't think we would have missed. So there was a So it wasn't a gift.
No, I think they did.
No, they didn't.
Because, well, hold on. But wait. Hold on. The lady came, she had the stuff, and she said, here you go. And they're like, we're gonna wear this and think about it and we'll let you know. Then later on, they're looking at it and they're putting it on. And when she's putting it on, they're saying, like, happy anniversary to me. I think it was official that she was going to keep it.
I don't think that happened.
You don't think so? You think they just borrowed and gave it back? I don't think so. I think she has it right now.
I think it's because she has a relationship with a jeweler and it was obvious.
No, I think she kept it. That was her anniversary present.
The whole
thing. I will DM her right now. I don't care.
Please.
I've written her twice and she hasn't written me back, but I will write. But she is watering the weeds and she's writing the people who are mean to her. And I said something nice to her and she didn't write me back, but I'm going to try it again right now.
Sounds like a Sarah Gallen to me. It really does. The negging is the thing. The thing is, like, the jeweler she didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything wrong. The people who fucked up are editors. That's who I'm annoyed with. I'm not annoyed with Bronwyn.
Do you think she kept it or she didn't keep the necklace?
No, the whole thing with the jeweler from the start is like, thank you for letting me borrow this,
I think she kept the necklace.
Quote unquote, we're going to consider it as gifts. But she never considered a $4 million necklace as like the gift, which is not saying they don't have $1 billion. I know that they do. I'm just saying, I don't think that she kept it. I don't think, and we would have seen that moment. We never did. She did the whole LOL, like happy birthday to, or happy anniversary to, thing to me. Did you just met? Hey, Bronwyn. Wait, go down, scroll down. What's your DM thing say? You're showing me your phone. Hey, Bronwyn, did you end up keeping the diamond necklace for your anniversary gift or give it back? I'm on a pod and saying you kept it.
She won't get back to me because I'm not mean to her. I swear to God, these housewives only write back to people who are mean to them. I should be like, hey, bitch, did you keep the diamond necklace
Bronwyn's
or not?
A stupid bitch. If you're listening, Bronwyn, we love you so much. What did you? I don't think she did.
And I don't know if love is a word, but.
I mean, yeah, true. It's not a Bronwyn problem. She didn't do anything wrong here.
No, I mean, I think she kept it.
Editing. I really don't
think. Well, we'll find out. If she writes me back, we'll find out. If someone else has an actual back and forth with her right now, someone else asked her if she kept the necklace. You know what I'm saying?
But then I think she almost feels like she, like, do I have to like lie because the show said I did? I don't know how she would. Well, no, I mean, I don't know.
She could take a picture, proof of life right now, like in her closet with the dogs and be like, today's paper, and hold the necklace up.
One of those dogs is going through chemo. I looked at her stories earlier today.
Oh, goodness. I didn't know that.
I don't know which House of Cards character, but I mean, and having that many dogs, that's a lot of dogs.
That's what I said on my pod. I couldn't do it.
I want a dog desperately, but it's like Bridesmaids. Remember when Melissa McCarthy had like 17?
That's exactly what I quoted. I took 9. That's exactly what I quoted.
One mind.
Overcommitted. Overcommitted just a bit.
Literally one mind. Listen, BBDB, I could record with you all day. I'll see you tomorrow when we record again. She gives a little wave. Can you tell the AGs in the meantime where they can follow you on social and what we got cooking over at High and Low?
Absolutely. Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo on Instagram, on TikTok. I have a YouTube. I need to give that page some love. So I'm very concerned about social media in the future. And what are we going to have? What platforms are going to be there? So I'm trying to diversify my portfolio. But I do recaps of the shows. I do deep dives of subject matter, either concerning the shows or not. It could be pop culture. It could be anything. It could be true crime. It could be Karen Reed. I don't know. I love everything. And so we do deep dives. And then we do rants occasionally where I just yell about stuff.
God, I love a rant.
Me too. Got to get it out.
Got to get it out. Where did you say where people can follow you? I already forgot.
Instagram, TikTok, YouTube.
Love it. And follow all three. Holy Trinity style. Do it.
It's fun. Oh, I also have a Patreon, but you don't have to join that. But I share other things there.
What's your Patreon?
You don't have to pay to join it. I think it's just my handle. Bravo, I don't think it was taken. Isn't that interesting? No one else had that.
That's a long handle to type, though. You have to do the whole file.
I didn't think about that when I made it.
Wow, that's a lot.
I know. I type it all the time, and every time I curse. Every single time.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, speaking of Patreon, join the Andy's Girls Patreon. It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes. Recording a Satchel Spectacular this weekend, so last call, officially last call to slide into my DMs with your Satchels of Gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness, Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone, about New York, LOL, Potomac, which I need to catch up on, Salt Lake City, Orange County, God forbid Teddy Joe, horse stuff, whatever you got, H-O-R-S-E, just wanted to make sure. You can listen to those episodes and you might be featured on them at patreon.com/andysgirls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. You can also slide into my DMs with satchels. BBDB, thanks so much for coming back.
That was a pleasure. That was a joy.
Always a pleasure. Always a joy. Thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.